Judges chapter 14. And our text for this morning is that verse 12. We have likened Samson unto the man who plays with fire. You play with fire, well, you're going to get burned. Once again, we have Samson playing with fire. Here in verse 12. And Samson said unto them, that is, the 30 Philistines who came to his wedding feast, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. We know from our previous studies in the life of this man that Samson was raised up by God to begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. We know that from verse 5. The Philistines, the recognized enemy of the Israelites, a heathen, ungodly people who had been hostile to the children of Israel for decades. And Israel's God had made it clear that his chosen people were never to have any association with the uncircumcised Philistines. Neither was there ever to be any alliance formed between the two peoples. Instead, the divine command that was given to Israel was that the Philistines must be conquered. Yet God's chosen were not always in a position to carry out that command, because Israel so often turned its back on the Lord and did not trust him in their battles with the Philistines. And it was instead the Philistines who prevailed. So when Samson came upon the scene, we read in verse 4 of chapter 14, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And Samson was given the task of breaking the hold that the Philistines had upon the children of Israel, and he was to bring about their deliverance. At least begin to bring about their deliverance. Samson was to stand against the enemy. Samson was to defeat the enemy so that they would no longer have dominion over his people. And I liken this unto the Christian, as the Christian is to put sin to the sword, that it might not have dominion over the child of God. Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps in thy word. If the child of God walks in the ways of the Lord and His word, sin will not have dominion over that person. That's why the Philistines had dominion over Israel, because Israel did not walk in the ways and in the will of God as given to them through God's word. And the result, the Philistines had dominion over them. If we do not walk in the word of God, sin, iniquity, will have dominion over us. Again, the psalmist says, Psalm 19, verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. That was the prayer of the psalmist. That ought to be our prayer. Unfortunately, we do not read of the children of Israel praying to the Lord for deliverance. Sin is not to be trifled with in the way that Samson played games with Israel's enemies. And that would really be my subject this morning. Do not trifle with sin. Samson trifled with Israel's enemies, played games with them. And I'm afraid Samson paid the price. For as the Philistines were the scourge of Israel, so sin is the scourge of every Christian. Therefore it is to be resisted. It is to be fought against. It is to be slain, that it might not have dominion over us. Samson's foolish behavior ought to be a warning to us when dealing with that which is the scourge of our souls. So what might we learn from Samson and his foolish behavior? One, we begin with Samson's wedding. We read that Samson's father went down unto the woman, verse 10. Seeing that he could not prevail against his son's decision to marry a Philistine, Manoah then consented to arrange the marriage between his son and this Philistine woman. We see, first of all, that the Philistine woman became Samson's companion. She obviously agreed to become his wife. Remember that word of a few weeks ago that we gave from Proverbs 6 and 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Samson, whenever he married this Philistine woman, took fire into his bosom, and that fire burned him. But at the time, Samson could not see any harm in making this woman his wife. Remember what he said when he went up to his father and told his father that he had seen a woman in Timnath and she pleased him well. He said to his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. We pointed out then that those words mean she is right in mine eyes. Get her for me. She is right in mine eyes. Samson thought it was all right to take this Philistine to be his wife. But his father told him it was all wrong. God's word told him it was all wrong. You see, Samson had one standard. Manoah had another standard. Manoah's standard was in agreement with the word of God. But Samson had set his own standard. And you know, believer, isn't that how we look at sin sometimes? We have different standards. Certain sins are viewed by some Christians as harmless. Perhaps they don't even judge them to be sins at all. While others, believers, may look upon those sins and avoid them like a plague. There's a different standard. Some have the same standards as Samson. Others hold the standard held by Manoah. Manoah saw the marriage of Samson to the Philistine as a threat to his happiness and his peace. On the other hand, Samson looked upon marriage to this Philistine woman as a way to happiness. And how wrong he was. Samson could not see any threat at all in marrying this woman, but saw it as a way to happiness. Samson set his own standard. The law of God was a very different standard. And so, dear child of God, we must see sin as God sees it. Namely, an enemy of our souls, which must be put to death. We cannot afford to set our own standard when it comes to sin. We cannot look upon sin and say, well, that will not do me any harm. We cannot look upon sin and say that's harmless. Sure, there's nothing wrong in that. We must look at sin through the eyes of God. We must look at sin as God looks at sin. And what God loves, that's what we love. And what God hates, that's what we hate. And as far as sin is concerned, like the Philistines, it must be put to death. Paul tells us that in Romans 8 verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What are the deeds of the body? Sin. Mortify the deeds of the body. That word mortify, as you may well imagine, means to put to death. It means to kill. That's putting it in strong language. That's how we're to deal with sin. It is to be put to death. God says it is to be killed. Therefore, we cannot afford to entertain sin in any shape or form. It is to be dealt with the way Samson was to deal with the Philistines. But then we not only notice Samson's companion, namely his Philistine wife, But we have some celebrations. We read there in that verse 10, so his father went down unto the woman. He went down to arrange the wedding. And Samson made there a feast. For so used the young man to do. And that feast or those celebrations were to last 7 days. And you ask yourself, what had Samson to celebrate? Nothing. He was going contrary to the word of God. He was going contrary to the advice of his father. He was bringing a Philistine into his home. He was bringing a Philistine into his bosom, which was contrary to the word of God, was contrary to his vow as a Nazarite. He was to live a life that was separated unto the Lord. I want you to notice something in that verse 10. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast. The feast was held there. Where? In Timnath. Amongst the Philistines. In enemy territory. Samson made a feast there. There he tarried amongst the Philistines, Israel's enemies. Once more, this man, who always seemed to live on the edge of danger, was in a place where he ought not to be. His vow of separation unto the Lord should have kept him from such a place, of course, in the first place, but he goes back again, and here he makes a feast in that very place. The Samson is like the Christian who trifles with sin. They trifle with sin. They may taste, but they do not indulge. Live on the edge. They may touch, but they do not embrace. They may handle, but they do not hold. They may look, but they do not focus. They're always living on the edge, as it were, as near to the world as they can. That's what Samson was about. Living as near to the enemy as he could. He tarried in Timnath, held a feast. I tell you, believer, it is dangerous to tarry so near to the Philistine of sin. You recall Lot. Lot lived too near to the sin that was so prevalent in the cities of the plain, and how dearly it cost him. Lot suffered great losses that he was unable to regain. Would you turn with me, please, to Genesis 19? I'd like just to highlight a few of the losses that Lot suffered because he trifled with sin. He tarried in a place where he ought not to have been. First of all, look at Genesis 19 verse 1. And really, when you look at Lot, he lost his senses. Verse 1, he lost his sense of direction. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. What are you doing there, Lot? You shouldn't be there. And those cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, the most sinful place for anyone to be, was sitting in the gate. And there's Lot. You recall whenever he separated from Abraham, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and now he's sitting in Sodom, in the gate. He lost his sense of direction. Verses 7 and 8. He lost his sense of decency. For we read in verse 7, or verse 6, and Lot went out to the door unto them, that is the Sodomites, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray thee, bring them out unto you, and do to them as is good in your eye. Lost his sense of decency. What is wrong with this man? What has happened to him? And what has happened to Samson? Holding a feast, celebrating the marriage of a Philistine woman. Where does he hold it? In Timnath. What are you doing there, Samson? Look at Lot again. Verse 18. The Lord has taken him out. In verse 18, and Lot said unto them, O, not so, my Lord. He lost his sense of dependence. The Lord told him to get out and escape to the mountain. Lot says, not so, my Lord. See what happens when you trifle with sin. It has an effect upon you. Look at verse 14 of Genesis 19. He lost his testimony. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He had lost his testimony before his sons-in-law. They didn't believe him. Verse 26. He lost his wife. Lost his sense of direction. Lost his sense of decency. Lost his dependence on God. Lost his testimony. Lost his wife. It does not pay to trifle with sin. Returning to Samson, we see next of all, next then, his company. Judges 14 and verse 11. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. The word companion there means a friend. Can you believe this? He marries a Philistine woman. He has one Philistine in the house. Now he is 31. Opening the door to one Philistine, opened it to another 30. And remember, these are the enemies of God's people. The Philistines were the enemies of Israel. And Samson has 31 of them at least in his company. You know, this is just like sin. Open the door to one sin. Entertain one sin. And before you know it, you'll be entertaining 30 more. Give place to one sin in your heart and in your life. And before long, you'll be giving place to 30 more. Instead of putting them to the sword, you allow those sins to stay. But for the time being, Samson did not seem to be troubled about having so many Philistines as his companions, as his friends. But these Philistines were no friends of Samson. And he would soon find out to his cost. Like sin, there is nothing innocent or harmless about it. It only seems that way. Here was Samson, and he welcomes 30 Philistines. He looks upon them as friends. Brings them in. Joins in the celebrations with them. It all seems so harmless. Nothing to be afraid of. But that's what sin is like. That's what sin is like. Hebrews 3 verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hardened. Do we not see Samson being hardened here? He has married a Philistine. Doesn't see any harm in that, according to his standard. He has brought in 30 Philistines to be his friends. Still, doesn't see any harm in that. His heart is growing hard, getting used to having so many Philistines around him. Sin is the same. Mark the words, the deceitfulness of sin. Yes, sin presents itself as being harmless, something that the Christian should not fear living with. But we should remind ourselves what sin is. Sin is a fire that will burn us. Sin is a sword that will slay us. Sin is a poison that will destroy us. Sin is a disease that will bring us to death. Don't trifle with sin. Don't trifle with sin, for at the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Can't afford to trifle with sin. And so after considering Samson's wedding, we move on quickly to Samson's wager. The wedding feast lasted 7 days. Samson had to find something for his guests to do. And so he presented them with a riddle. And he said to all his companions that if they could solve the riddle, he would give them 30 changes of garments. But if they couldn't solve it, they had to give him 30 changes of raiment. But I want you to notice the basis for this riddle. What was it based on? Look there at verse 12. Our text, and Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me in 7 days of the feast, find it out, I will give you 30 sheets of and 30 chains of garments. Verse 14 is the riddle. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. He's trifling with sin again. He's playing with fire again. What is the riddle based on? It is based upon his venture into the vineyards of Timnath. His riddle is based upon that which he should not have done, based upon a place he should not have been, based upon something that was contrary to his vow as a Nazarite. Now you recall that he didn't tell his parents about going into the vineyards of Timnath. He didn't tell his parents about slaying the lion. He knew that they would not have approved, because what he did was contrary to his vow as a Nazarite. When he took the honey out of the carcass of the lion and gave it to his parents, again he didn't say anything. Remember, they had a standard that was consistent with God's word. Oh, he couldn't tell his parents that, what he had done. But now, he has no problem telling the story to the ungodly Philistines, albeit in the form of a riddle. There's a lesson there, believer. How is it that many have no difficulty talking about things when they're in the company of God's people, or in the company of the ungodly? There's no difficulty talking about things and subjects when they're in the company of the ungodly they wouldn't dream of discussing when they're in the company of God's people, because they know what they're talking about is wrong. It's unholy and unwholesome. Here is Samson. He was in the company now of the ungodly Philistines. He had no difficulty talking about what he did in the vineyards of Timnath. They wouldn't mention it to his parents, his godly parents. No. Couldn't talk to them about it. But there's something else here. Samson did not inform his parents about what he did in the vineyards of Timnath. He didn't tell them because he knew it was wrong. What he had done was wrong, was contrary to the teaching of God's word. And yet, he has used that incident, formed a riddle out of it, and now is dealing with that incident in a frivolous manner. He doesn't seem to have felt any guilt or any shame about what he had done. Treats it in an all light-hearted fashion. His conscience no longer troubled him, else he would not have spoken about his visit to the vineyards at all. Dr. Andrew Bonner, just reading the other day, Dr. Bonner said this: sin is not simply going against our conscience. It is going against the law of God, though conscience keeps silence. not having a conscience about what we do does not mean our action is acceptable in the eyes of God. Samson didn't appear to have a conscience about what he did, the way he made a riddle out of it. He didn't seem to be ashamed of what he had done. His conscience wasn't troubling him when he was with the Philistines. But that doesn't mean it was right. Because what Samson had done was contrary to the word of God. That's what made it wrong. That's what made it a sin. And what is sin? Our shorter catechism asks. Sin is any want of conformity unto our transgression of the law of God. Any want of conformity unto our transgression of the law of God, that's sin. It's not what we say, it's not what our conscience says. Although our conscience will trouble us at times, but we don't depend on the conscience to guide us as to what is right and wrong. We depend on God's holy word. You're the bride and the wager. 3 days had passed by since Samson told his companions the riddle, verse 14. Now the 30 Philistine friends of his turned their attention to Samson's wife. And they threaten her. And they say, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And his wife then pressed him with tauntings and with tears, until at last he gave in. This man who was known for his strength gave in. Told his wife the key to the riddle, who in turn told the Philistine friends. In other words, the woman whom Samson believed was right for him has now weakened him. He couldn't hold out against her. And he couldn't hold out against the 30 Philistine friends. And how typical this is of sin. Sin weakens us. Sin, if it is entertained, if it is not put to death, will weaken us. Leave us very weak Christians. And Samson yielded to one Philistine, and then he had to yield to 30. You yield to one sin, you'll have to yield to 30. And the one sin will take away your strength. Yes, we're to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. But give place to the devil, give place to sin, and will not have the strength to resist. You have the betrayal and the wager. Once again, the woman who seemed right in his eyes turned out not to be right after all. His parents were right. God was right. Samson was wrong. Wasn't long before she and her companions revealed their true colors. Look at verse 15 at the end of the verse. Entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? In other words, whenever 30 companions were brought to the wedding feast, who was it brought them? Samson's wife. That's what they said. Have ye brought us Samson's wife brought them. And look at verse 16, how she spoke of them. Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people. Oh, they're still my people. Samson, I may be married to you. An Israelite, I may be married to you. A Nazarite. But these Philistines are still my people. And when she was given the key to the riddle, she went in verse 17 and she told the riddle to the children of her people. He's betrayed. Didn't pay Samson to disobey the commands of the Lord. It didn't profit Samson to set his own standards and live by them. It didn't benefit Samson to disregard the advice of his parents. 7 days the marriage lasted. 7 days and the marriage was over. And it began so innocently with one visit to Timnath. One sight of a woman that pleased him. It began so innocently with such small beginnings. But look at it now. James 3 and verse 5. We may take his words and apply it to this situation. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. James 3 verse 5. Samson's warfare. We read in verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The third time the Spirit of the Lord began to work in Samson's life. The fact that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson does not mean that God condoned his actions. Instead, we see it as God overruling evil to accomplish his purpose for the Philistines. We know that from chapter 14, verse 4. It shows that our sovereign God can take any situation and use it to fulfill his purposes and bring glory to his name. The Philistines needed to be attacked because they were oppressing God's people. Indeed, every time Samson attacked the Philistines, it's interesting. Every time he attacked the Philistines, it was never for the right reason. Never for the right reason. It was always because he got angry or something had happened to him and he took it out on them. But as he say, the Lord even used that. And surely the wrath of man shall praise the Lord. And then you have the slaying by Samson. For we are told in verse 19 that he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them. Went to Ashkelon and threw 30 Philistines. The Spirit of the Lord being upon him, he slew 30 Philistines. That was quite an achievement. This he could only have done by the power of the Spirit of the Lord. And believer, when it comes to slaying sin, we'll only accomplish that by the power of the Spirit of the Lord. We'll not defeat the devil. We'll not defeat sin in our own strength. We will defeat sin. We will defeat the Philistine of sin by the power of the Spirit of the Lord. So we need to pray for, Lord, give me the power of the Spirit of the Lord that I might slay every Philistine in my life or in my heart. Every Philistine sin. We need the power of the Spirit of the Lord. May the Lord order our steps in his word, that sin might not have dominion over us. Let us bow our heads in prayer.